Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
One of the classic movies of all time is a Clint Eastwood movie named Kelly's Heroes. Clint Eastwood, Don Rickles, Telly Savalas, and Donald Sutherland. Donald Sutherland played a tank commander named Oddball. And he would look at everybody and say, look, I don't like the negative waves, man.
Like all of our listeners, I'm like, where is this going? Oh, okay.
Again, it goes back to you.
What was it you said during the break? Maybe the Phillies should bring up the Iron Pigs and play for the future?
Bring them all up. That way they can do what you want, play for the future. You know, if they had played for the future the way you wanted to, they probably would not be a World Series.
Well, they're 6-6, so maybe that's not a bad idea after all. Just a joke.
Time now to change topics for a moment. Kevin can go get a beverage. I'm going to talk college football for a few minutes. We're going to bring in Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. Adam, my friend, great to have you back on board. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve.
Okay, great to have you back. All right, you've gone through and taken a look at teams during the course of spring practices. You've probably been to a couple yourself along the way. I mean, what if anything, has stuck out to you at this time of the year?
Well, Steve, as you know, it's always a positive time around the campuses. No games. Coaches are physically more relaxed. Players are in good moods. And everyone thinks they can have a chance to be a better team this coming season. And even Ohio State, who went 12-0 last year, although I know they tried to ward off any potential complacency in their program. A lot of quarterback competitions around the Big Ten. You have situations like Penn State and Iowa where you have players that don't have any experience at the FBS level, hardly any at least. And then you have programs like Michigan State and Purdue and Indiana where you have some players who do have a little bit more experience. But overall, a lot of quarterback races around the conference, a lot of new coaches, new coordinators. So there's definitely a lot to keep us busy here in spring football.
What are the impressions? By the way, I always liken spring football to the day after the NFL draft. There isn't a single team in the NFL that tells you they had a bad draft. Spring football, you usually hear that they had pretty good springs. What's been the conversation about Devin Gardner at Michigan?
I had a chance to spend a couple of days in Ann Arbor, and everyone is very excited about Devin, his potential in that offense, which is now going back to really the traditional Michigan offense. It's going to be a pro-style offense with a running back, sometimes with a fullback, vertical passing game, more of a pocket passer in Devin. I know that obviously he's a great athlete and he can run, but they do not want to take any chances with him, and I wouldn't expect him to run the ball more than 10 times a game. He's going to be much more of a typical Michigan quarterback like we saw under Lloyd Carr and the other Michigan coaches. And he's a guy that really entered the spring wanting to have as much freedom as possible. He wants the coordinator, Al Borges, to give him to really not be restricted in what he can call, and wants to give him audible opportunities and so forth. And by all accounts, he had a strong spring and is feeling really confident. So he's a guy that has the potential, at least, to be a real star. He put up nice numbers last year, in the last five games, starting at quarterback, but now he'll have a full offseason to prepare to be the starter.
Of course, they'll be here October 13th to take on Penn State at Beaver Stadium. Somebody that Penn State will take on in November, also at Beaver Stadium,
is Nebraska. Taylor Martinez is one of the returning guys. What does he have around him that can make Nebraska a threat to get back to the championship game for a second straight year?
Yeah, you know, I think right now he has either the best supporting cast or one of the best supporting casts in the league. You know, they don't lose anyone at wide receiver, and they return Kenny Bell, who was one of the better wide receivers in the conference last year, along with Allen Robinson, obviously, at Penn State. Jamal Turner, another weapon at wide receiver. Quincy Enunwa at running back. They have a couple of playmakers, and Amir Abdullah, who really was the starter for most of last year because Rex Burkhead was battling all those knee problems. And Imani Cross is a young running back who got a lot of playing time this spring because Abdullah had some knee issues. They bring back pretty much everybody on the offensive line. So offensively, Nebraska's in great shape. They're going to put up a lot of points, back up a lot of yards. I think the big question is whether Taylor Martinez could be more disciplined with the football because turnovers have really, really hurt them throughout his career. But the biggest question for Nebraska is undoubtedly on the defensive side and not so much the offense.
This is the final year of the current setup of the split of the divisions. When they go to 14, what have you heard as to how it can play out?
Yeah, you know, I think it's in the closing stages, although we might not get an announcement for a little while because there's some logistical issues to work out. I've been told that basically they're going to go with a time zone geographic type split where all the teams in the central time zone will be in the same division. And all the teams in the Eastern time zone will be in the same division. But obviously that leaves a 8-6 issue where you have to move someone from the East to the West. And you know, I've been told it'll either be Purdue or Indiana. And most likely I think it'll be Purdue, but we'll see how those discussions pan out. They're just looking out the logistics at this point. I don't anticipate any more potential changes, but they're going to go with a real geographic split, which is something that a lot of fans wanted the first time around, and bringing in Rutgers and Maryland has allowed them to do that.
And the next part is 8 games will not be the norm. They'll move it. There have been discussion between 9 and 10. I think you and I both heard the same thing, that 9 is the leader.
Yeah, it's going to be 9. Multiple athletic directors have told me that. Multiple league officials have told me that. It's going to also, though, be in 2016, so it won't be a change right away. They'll have a couple of years with 14 teams and an 8-game conference schedule and then go to 9 games in 2016. There's a lot of varied opinions about 9 games. It's not a balance. You'll have 5 home games some years in the league, 4 home games and 5 road games some other years, and that doesn't sit well with some of the athletic directors. But I think everybody realizes when you become a bigger conference, you need to have more conference games, and that really appeals to TV and can bring in more money for the league.
Yeah, and there's the other part, too, for an athletic director. What they do have to battle is that most schools like to have 7 home games because of the revenue. That means that you have to balance every other year of having every non-conference game being at home and then having 2 out of 3 on the road the other year.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a balance for that, because I know from talking to some athletic directors, they would love to start scheduling their non-conference games too, and that's sort of been put on hold going forward as they work things out. But I know 7 home games is important. I'm talking with Gene Smith from Ohio State. He mentioned that even in the years where a school like Ohio State wasn't going to have 7 home games, there would be something done with the revenue to quote unquote make everybody whole financially. That would allow schools to have sometimes 6 home games every once in a while and still be able to meet their budget needs.
The world seems to feel that everything's going toward, quote, super conferences. The Big Ten will be at 14. The SEC already is at 14, and we don't know what the ACC is. It changes on a weekly basis. Does the Big Ten stay at 14, or do you think the door, based on the conversation you had, is open to 16, or what?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely a strong possibility the Big Ten gets bigger than 14. You know, the 3 teams that I've heard are probably the 3 that you've heard are most likely candidates. That'd be Georgia Tech, Virginia, and North Carolina, some combination, whether it's all 3, whether it's 2. We'll see what happens. But I think everyone's kind of watching the ACC and whether that league can hold on to all of its members. The Big Ten certainly offers more revenue now and more revenue in the future, especially with the new television contract coming up in a couple seasons. So I think that's where everyone's watching right now. What happens with the ACC? Are they going to survive? Can they hold on to everyone? going forward, because that would seem to be the obvious move if the Big Ten were to get bigger than 14.
How important, then, does the Maryland suit and the ACC over the exit fee become in terms of opening or closing a door?
Well, it's something that definitely people are monitoring, Steve, but if you look at the projected revenues, even if Maryland had to pay the full amount, I think the Big Ten has assured Maryland that over time they'd be able to survive financially, although obviously that was a huge reason for their move to the Big Ten because of their financial lows in their athletic department. So it's something to monitor for sure, but I don't know necessarily if it would discourage other Big Ten, other ACC schools from leaving the conference if they look at the projected revenues that Jim Delaney is promising from the Big Ten.
Rutgers and Maryland would join, and Maryland still, Rutgers still has to technically negotiate this, but Rutgers and Maryland would join July 1st, 2014. If the Big Ten were to push for, say, two more schools to get to 16, would Jim Delaney like to get that done before July 1 this year so there's a transition and everybody in at once, or is there no timetable on that?
You know, I don't think there's a strict timetable. A lot of people were asking me with the division discussion right now, well, what are they going to do when they become 16? And, you know, from talking to multiple people in that room, having those discussions, they did not look at any models beyond 14. They're not looking at anything that they don't know is definitely happening. And obviously, Rutgers and Maryland, they're definitely happening. So, if you were going to get bigger, you'd love to have it done earlier so that you could do just one division alignment rather than another one, but they're going forward as though there'll be a 14-team league in 2014 until something is much closer to happening.
Well, here's the next part. What about basketball? Because basketball did not do a divisional setup. They went 1 through 12. Are they considering a divisional setup for basketball and having that carry over as well?
I don't see it ever happening. I guess you never say never, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in basketball versus football, because in football you're trying to determine two participants for a league championship game versus basketball, where, you know, in most leagues, and obviously the Big Ten included, you know, every team makes the conference tournament. So that's the only reason you have divisions in the first place, is to get your postseason structure in place. And it really doesn't serve a whole purpose in basketball. Because everybody's making the conference tournament, everyone's going to be seeded, everyone has an opportunity to win that conference tournament, whereas in football, you only have two teams that have a chance to win the automatic BCS bowl berth, or whatever it's going to be called in the future.
I want to get back to a couple teams. I want to get to Wisconsin. Obviously, first time they've changed since Brett came in and took over for Barry. Is it going to, do you sense Wisconsin will be the same style, or will Anderson put in a couple of things that he did while coaching out West?
Yeah, Steve, I think they'll be the same style on offense. Not changing a whole lot under Andy Ludwig. He was a guy that actually studied a lot of Wisconsin at his previous coaching stops, whether it was San Diego State or Cal, and really embraces, you know, the post-style offense, a little bit more of a West Coast system from talking to some of their quarterbacks and Ludwig earlier this spring. But they're not going to be very different on that side of the ball. They know what their strengths are, the run game, the offensive line. They do need to have more wide receivers and develop those through recruiting and so forth. But the play-action game, where you'll see the changes, though, is on the defensive side. They're going to be mostly an odd man front, which we haven't seen a whole lot in the Big Ten as a pace defense. So they're going to go 3-4 a lot with nose tackles. They're actually going to, in some ways, bring a lot of the outside linebackers, kind of go with a defensive end outside linebacker hybrid type, and bring those guys blitzing off the edges. So I think the defensive coordinator Dave Aranda, who works very closely, obviously, with Gary Anderson, mentioned it's the 3-4 set, but in some ways it's like a 2-5 personnel grouping. So they're going to be able to bring pressure from a lot of different locations and give a lot of looks for opposing offenses. So you're going to see more changes.
Adam, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. I thought that was rather informative. 8-game conference schedule this year, next year, year after, but 9 games starting in 2016. Kevin is still stuck on why the Phillies traded away the future.
And the past.
I, 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 I was trying to. The past. Your past is horrible. All right. Let's come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2004 Volvo XC90 2.9-liter twin-turbo, $7,997. 2010 Chevy Impala four-door sedan, $13,284. 2012 Ford Fiesta five-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2010 Ford Mustang Black, just $14,998. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door GLS, $15,943. And a 2008 Ford F-150 Super Crew Lariat, $23,999. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Spoiled. Spoiled fans from a franchise that has never spoiled you.
They've set the bar high now. We've been sitting in misery as Phillies fans for so long, and now all of a sudden you've set the bar high. We don't want to go back to where we were.
I understand that. Look, you take some chances. The chances do not. I mean, sometimes you don't. It doesn't pan out. But you need, when you have a chance to win, you take the chance to win. I'll give you an example. Okay? Grew up a Red Sox fan. Red Sox had an opportunity. I can't remember what year. I want to say maybe it was 88, whatever it was. Probably was 88. Let me think now. Yeah. They had a chance in 88 to win. They acquired Mike Boddicker in a trade to back up Roger Clemens as a number two starter. Good team. Now, you know, the Red Sox were a good team. They felt going down the stretch that they needed to get a shutdown left-handed reliever. And Larry Anderson had been having a great year with Houston, where his ERA was hovering between about 1.2 and 1.3. I mean, I'm talking about 1.20, 1.30. That's how well he had pitched. So they gave up a double-A prospect for him. The double-A prospect ended up being Jeff Bagwell. Okay. Now, did it cost the Red Sox in the end to give up Jeff Bagwell? Of course it did. Bagwell is a right-to-the-threshold Hall of Fame player. And so they had to come up with other ways to get around and other people to play first base. But that's who they gave up. Just like the Detroit Tigers in 1987 acquired Woody Freiman, who went 13-1 and helped get them into the playoffs, where eventually, who did they play, Oakland that year? Maybe in Oakland. But they gave up a prospect in return by the name of John Smoltz. Happens. Now, Larry Anderson did not pitch well for the Red Sox. He didn't. I mean, it didn't pan out in any way. But they were trying to go for it. And whenever people try to go for it, where they're aggressive, and you can sit there and you can take your money and you can put it under a mattress. You can go out and buy yourself a beautiful Ford Escape and you can leave it in the garage. Or you can take it out and enjoy it and use it and go for it. Or you can take some of your money and spend it on something you want, or you can invest it. Or you can just sit there, right, and have it in the mattress and go, okay, it's still going to be there 4 years from now. We'll be okay. That's not how it works. You need, in order to make something great, you build it, and then every once in a while, you got to take a chance to get it over the hump. Okay? The Phillies have done that along the way, getting a Hunter Pence, trading prospects to get a Roy Halladay. The Cliff Lee thing. I mean, they've given up prospects along the way with the idea they've been trying to make the club better. Now, they have taken now age comes into play here, and this is something that a lot of people don't seem to understand. And you can see it. Won the World Series in 8, went to the World Series in 9, lost. Lost in the LCS in 10, lost in the Division Series in 11, no playoff last year. They've taken a step back every single year. More of what they have done with this is more of a reflection on Ruben Amaro and not on Charlie Manuel, but Manuel will be the guy that gets fired.
I'd probably agree with that. But as a Boston fan, you should, of anybody, be empathetic to the situation that once you've had a taste of success, you don't want to go back to decades of frustration.
Oh, I understand that, but I mean, sometimes you got to tear it down a little bit. 5 was not a good year for the Red Sox. 6, they didn't make the playoffs, and then 7, they had the best team in baseball.
I mean, if the Phillies take any more steps back, this year won't even be a 500 season.
Yeah, but if the Red Sox 1-4, 5, they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs, 6, they didn't make the playoffs, and 7, they had the best team in baseball. They had the best record. Won the American League. I mean, they were the best team, period. And that was not the same personnel group as 2004.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at REWfinancial.com. Sunbury Motor Studios, where we safely reside. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilshers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilshersstore.com. People have asked about the autograph session. The football players are not going to be available for autographs on Saturday. They will have an autograph session, but they're calling it the one-team autograph session. Well, the one-team autograph session is going to take place west of the stadium, in the tent area, and there'll be 11 participating teams, men's and women's basketball, men's and women's fencing, men's and women's hockey, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's swimming and diving, and women's gymnastics. Okay? Football players are not available for an autograph session this year. Just so you know. So that is the deal. Jason on Facebook asked about possibly playing Miami. They're talking with two schools right now. They're talking with Miami and they're talking with Virginia Tech about possible schedules down the road. But where they fit into those schedules, I can't tell you. Because remember, they already have now a 4-game series with Pitt beginning in 16. They have Rutgers on the schedule in... let's see, next year at Rutgers, and then Rutgers at home. Those should now be conference games as part of the 8-game conference schedule. So Rutgers was the non-conference game. So they do have to come up with a non-conference replacement for that game. They do have to come up with a non-conference replacement for the Rutgers game. So that's 14-15. So they do have to come up with that. So a home and away is available to do that. But then Pitt's on the schedule in 16-17, 18-19, and Syracuse is on in 20-21. Penn State is confirmed. I mean, somebody officially confirmed that, yeah, they are talking to Miami. And I've also heard, yeah, there's actually been at points discussions with Virginia Tech. Now, if anything comes to fruition with this, we'll find out. But that answers Jason's question. He also asked what he wanted for the tailgate. Steak is fine, thank you. So I hope that answers those questions. Next, we get to on the email about the Phillies. Too many maybes with this group, without a doubt. Is this now the time that you take Charlie Manuel out of the picture and install Ryne Sandberg as the future manager? They've traded away their top prospects, and they've also tied to Ryan Howard long term. Home runs, yes. Batting average, no. All this is made for entertaining radio because a bitter Kevin is an entertaining Kevin.
For you.
Oh, I think for the audience. Although you speak for many in the audience on many topics.
I don't know. I mean, you just watched the spring and there was no real comforting feeling when you look at the outfield. The pitching staff looked middle inning relief. The Phillies decided to go with basically a guy who didn't do well the first time around, but they gave him another shot. The starters are not panning out to be as good as Phillies fans expect them to be. I mean, Ryan Howard was ice cold. And as long as the temperature's 70 degrees or he's in a warm climate, he seems to be okay. I still say that's my theory, and it's stuck. If you look, it's stuck right along that line. I don't know.
If you want me to feel better, we can bring Joe Lundberg on the show, and he can confirm to you that it's going to be another hot summer in Philadelphia, like it has for the past 500 years.
I'm hoping. I should have asked him this morning when he was on the mark.
Tomorrow, by the way, Pat Toomey will be on the mark. Senator Pat Toomey, who just co-sponsored the gun legislation that was defeated yesterday in the U.S. Senate, 54-46. He co-sponsored the legislation with Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. He'll be on the show with Mark Lawrence tomorrow morning and on the mark. We have Bill O'Brien tomorrow afternoon. Notice how I...
Very nicely done.
Tying it together.
Yeah, very nicely done.
Yeah.
Wait, you mentioned about Charlie Manuel, and the email mentioned about Charlie Manuel probably leaving, and that's probably what's going to happen. But I do think there are a lot of issues as far as Ruben Amaro is concerned. Maybe he got lucky in the with some of the moves he made.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he actually did do really well, or maybe it was just maybe he just can't do it anymore. I don't know.
Okay, now hold on.
I'm listening. Okay. I'm listening intently.
Slow down. Yeah, it's a rarity. Now, you mentioned the Red Sox.
I did.
Went a long way.
I said you as a Red Sox fan should understand.
Yes. 2004 to 2007, were they the same teams?
Are we talking the Phillies or the Red Sox? Well, probably neither one.
Oh, this is just brutal. Were the Red Sox the same team in 2004 as 2007?
I don't know.
This is just a few seasons apart. Well, that's if you wish, I can answer that.
Please answer it for me. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, no team's the same. They have a lot of people moving around.
Only a few spots. Jason Veritek was the catcher on both teams. All right? So that was the same. But Billy Miller was the third baseman. Kevin Youkilis. Okay? Orlando Cabrera. Julio Lugo. Okay? Mark Bellhorn in 2004. Dustin Pedroia in 2008. Johnny Damon, Jacoby Ellsbury. Trot Nixon, J.D. Drew. Now, Manny Ramirez is the same in left field. Kevin Millar, no. They changed that up. So the Red Sox were a different team at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of their 9 everyday positions. They were a different team at 6 of their 9 everyday positions. Or actually, no, I'm sorry, 7 out of 10, because Ortiz was the DH for both. All right? Okay, now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, which isn't unusual because of the way Major League Baseball moves players around all the time.
All right, but 7 out of 10 positions, the Red Sox were different. Okay, they got younger in center field. They got younger at second base. You know, they did not improve themselves at shortstop. They went with J.D. Drew in a long-term contract to replace Trot Nixon in right field. Okay? Now pitching. In 2005, they made a trade. And they picked up in that trade Josh Beckett. Now, they gave up Hanley Ramirez and Anibal Sanchez to do it. Two future guys that have, you know, Ramirez has been an all-star. Sanchez has thrown a no-hitter, and he was important to what Detroit did last year when they finally acquired him from the Marlins. But that's who they gave up. He was their number one. Struggled in 5, good in 6, unbelievable off the charts in 7. They still had Curt Schilling. But then they had Daisuke Matsuzaka they signed. They still had Tim Wakefield. They jettisoned Pedro Martinez, Derek Lowe. Lowe still had some productive years left in him, it turned out. Okay. Their closer had been Keith Foulke in 2004. It was Jonathan Papelbon in 2007. So you retool along the way. You try to pick out what you think are key parts that you are going to build your franchise around. All right? And the Phillies selected as those key parts Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, and people like that. Which I think in the end, and Carlos Ruiz, I think in the end, and Jimmy Rollins, I think those are good, solid choices to build around. It's now a question of how you fit the other parts around them. They have not done a good job of fitting parts around them, whether it is through their farm system or not. Pedroia was a farm system guy for the Red Sox. Ellsbury, a farm system guy through the draft. Drew was a free agent. Lugo was in a trade. So, you pick out key parts and then you say to yourself, okay, now that's what I want to keep that I think are the foundation, the nucleus of what I want to do moving forward. And the Phillies picked out that nucleus moving forward as Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Carlos Ruiz, and some key pitchers. Okay? I don't think there's anything wrong with who they picked out. But they have not done a good job of filling in around them. And I think that's been a big problem.
Well, we've said this for 2 years. They got a really high-profile, very expensive closer, and they haven't gotten to him near enough.
No, they have not. You know, I mean, part of the two is that, you know, you have to hit the jackpot on a trade. I mean, Kevin Youkilis was playing first base for the Red Sox in 2007. He was a journeyman. He was not a journeyman. He was just a backup at third. You know, but they picked up Mike Lowell in that trade, too, with Josh Beckett. Become their third baseman, veteran presence, the whole thing. See, you know, so they changed everything over. Billy Miller became Mike Lowell. You know, they have not made that kind of impact deal. I think Hunter Pence was that kind of impact deal, and I would not have traded him to the Giants.
I was not happy about that myself.
I would not have traded him to the Giants. All right? I just wouldn't have. That's the one deal he made last year where I sat back and said, you know what? That's one too many. Shane Victorino I would have traded.
Well, you had to get something out of him.
Well, it's not the question of that. One of the more difficult decisions that you have to make as a general manager these days is when you look at a veteran player and you say to yourself, okay, do I give that player a 3-year or 4-year deal, or do I think that his life expectancy as a ball player is almost to the edge? That's a hard call to make. We talk about this in the NFL all the time. Tampa Bay felt they went to the limit with John Lynch. He became a Bronco. The Eagles felt they were at the limit with Brian Dawkins. He became a Bronco. The Bears just made that decision with Brian Urlacher. The Colts made that decision with Peyton Manning. These are not low-profile guys. The Patriots made that decision with Wes Welker. You make the same decisions in baseball. Pedro Martinez desperately wanted to re-sign with the Red Sox, but the Red Sox would not give him a 4-year contract. They offered him 3. The Mets offered him 4. He went 4. His career went nowhere because he had reached essentially the limit on a great career. Hard call. And those are the kind of calls that you have to make. So you have to select what you think will be core guys. Well, when they selected core guys, they did not expect Ryan Howard to blow an Achilles. When they selected Chase Utley, they didn't expect him to have the variety of problems he's had. Jimmy Rollins has been good. I think he's been a disappointment because I think he should be better. Carlos Ruiz is one of the top 2 catchers in the game. He and Pick the Molina of the day. So those 4 guys that they picked to build the franchise around, I think are 4 really good choices, but luck plays a role in it. You don't expect Ryan Howard to blow an Achilles. You don't expect Chase Utley to have the injuries he's had. You don't expect Carlos Ruiz to be put on a 25-day disabled list for a drug that happens to be needed by those who have ADHD. So even in the guys that they picked to be their core group, they've had bad luck with it, and I don't think that they've done a good enough job of filling in around it. Hunter Pence, I thought, was one of those guys they did a good job of filling in around. But they dealt him away, and that one I raise an eyebrow with. That one I'm going to have to be proven wrong on. My gut is I would not have made that deal. A lot of maybes. They've given up a lot of prospects. I don't mind giving up prospects to win now. I never have, because I think the opportunity to win is just too rare in sports. LeBron James is one of the truly great players in the history of the game, correct?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any debate about that.
He has one championship. Bobby Orr, one of the great, to me, he is the single greatest hockey player I've ever seen. Yes, I think he's, if I had a first choice to start my team, Gretzky is awesome, unbelievable. I'd pick Orr. He won two championships in his career. Two. Winning is difficult. Having it happen at the right moment, timing means everything. Playing for the future usually means that every year you're playing for the future. I give you the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
They say effort equals results. Now both are on full display at the 2013 Chrysler Showcase event. Whether it's the Chrysler 300 with standard leather trim and 31 mpg highway, the Chrysler Town & Country with standard leather and class-exclusive stow-and-go seating, or the best-in-class 283 horsepower of the Chrysler 200 Limited, getting here during the Chrysler Showcase event will be well worth the effort.
Right now, get $4,000 total cash allowance on the Chrysler 200 Limited Sedan. Hurry to your local Chrysler dealer today and take advantage of this exceptional offer during the Chrysler Showcase event. EPA estimated V6 fuel economy rear-wheel drive. Actual results may vary. Leather trim first and second rows. Based on Automotive News midsize segment. Residency restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2013. Chrysler is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
Come on home to convenience. Come on over with style.
Finally, it's time to fertilize, weed and feed, and trim and mulch.
And you can get up to the task with savings from Kohl's Hardware. Save on 3 cubic feet bags of mulch, now 3 for $12. Or red-dyed 3 cubic feet mulch, 3 for $15.
Save on Miracle-Gro garden soil with a $2 mail-in rebate. And Scott's Super Turf Builder weed and feed, save $12 with mail-in rebate.
Make light your work with, as seen on TV, a 20-volt Works cordless trimmer with 12-inch cut, now just $129.99. And check out the all-new Weber grills at Kohl's.
Hurry in to Kohl's. Spring is in the air, and with it, savings on the things you need now, like True Value Easy Care, $5 off per gallon with mail-in rebate. Kohl's Hardware, we're saving you money in your hometown. Like us on Facebook.
Come on home, you'll get more. Come on home to Kohl's.
Kohl's Hardware.
Come on home, your hardware store. Come on home to Kohl's.
Kohl's Hardware.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Skin care, FPC, create a dazzling new you.
Got a prom or wedding coming up? Well, ladies, get ready to shine with the Hydrafacial from Skincare FPC. Hydrafacials resurfaces the skin and thoroughly cleanses, exfoliates, extracts, and hydrates simultaneously. Through April, get 30% off Hydrafacials. Call 847-5586 for a free consultation.
Skincare FPC.
Steve Jones winning in the present. Kevin Herr planning for the future.
That's because the present just doesn't look that good right now. Maybe the future present will look better.
I see.
That's what I'm hoping for, anyway.
Yeah. Well, first of all, look how long it took the Nationals to get there. The Nationals are a product of high draft choices. Strasburger, number one overall. Bryce Harper, number one overall. Eventually, those guys, when they get there, have, you know, should be the most talented guys on the board. Now, the Braves, you have to give them credit. They've retooled.
Sure.
I have to give them a lot of credit the way they've retooled that thing. And the Cardinals do a great job of retooling. You know, the Yankees and the Red Sox for a long time did that, but now you notice even down, now it's at the point where the two of them are trying to rebuild themselves. So, you know, you go through cycles with these things.
Well, here's the
deal. People in Pittsburgh are frustrated. This is an $8 billion industry, and they act like they have no money.
Here's the deal, all right? Here's the deal. The Pirates come to town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If the Phillies split or worse against the Pirates in that Monday through Thursday series, I'm going to start looking at football season.
You did this last year.
And I was right.
I didn't say you weren't right. I said you did this last year.
I'm sorry. If you cannot take at least three from the Pirates in a four-game series, season's over.
What size is your jersey, by the way?
What size is what jersey?
What size jersey, baseball jersey, do you wear?
I have a Jim Tomey. I have a Jim Tomey jersey.
Oh, no, I want to get you a personalized one. It's your name on the back.
For all the times I use the term "we," is that where you're getting at?
No. It's a I just want to make sure. Are there two T's in quitter?
Yeah, that's it. That's great. I'll become a free agent. How's that? I think I threatened that last year too.
Nobody wants you.
That's the whole problem.
I know it sounds bitter. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Rick understands loyalty. 800-609-9484. Go to REWfinancial.com. Tomorrow, Bill O'Brien. And more bitter rants from Kevin.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.